Hey there, welcome to Conscious Lifestyles Radio Show. This is Ginger Leilani Chapin. Today I am talking with Dr. David Kennedy. He's a return guest of many times on my show. And Dr. Kennedy, you are one of the great dentists, I think, in today's world. You have been a voice for educating people. You've dedicated the rest of your life to doing so. You've made over 27 documentaries. Everyone's got to check out fluoridegate.org. and David Kennedy, DDS, on YouTube. Check out Smoking Teeth. Is that the first documentary you kind of suggest for people to look at on YouTube, Dr. Kennedy?
It was the first one I made. It was kind of by accident, and I kept trying to video the demonstration of mercury coming off a tooth, and the third time's the charm. It was in Oxford's library in England, and it was completely dark, and you can see that mercury rising off that filling every time Dr. Eichmann does anything to him, whether he rubs it with a pencil eraser or scrapes it with a pocket knife or even, you know, just brushes it on a piece of cloth, it smokes. And that smoke is mercury vapor, which is deadly.
Wow. Well, you know, I also wanted to begin the show and welcome, by the way, welcome back after many times. but I wanted to start the show saying that my dog Sophie nearly died. Everyone, there is a huge recall, as there has been for so many pet foods, for Evengers now. And it's taken the FDA, which is no surprise to you, Dr. Kennedy. I'm sure you are not surprised by this. It's taken the FDA several months of quote-unquote investigating the maggots that were found in the food in their horribly run factories in Illinois. They were so bad, the neighbors were complaining about the smell and the stench of the factories that were making this pet food. And it's called Evengers. They are touted as one of the high-quality ones, but unfortunately, they are one of the worst. They should go out of business. No one buy their food. Everyone who owns a pet store, please take them off of your shelves immediately. They're killing animals left and right, and they have found pentobarbital, which is the drug they put animals to sleep with, in the food. So how did that get in the food? They're obviously using rendered animals or animals that have been euthanized. It is horrifying. So with that said, everyone stay away from Evengers. We hope and pray that Sophie will be okay. And thank you, Dr. Kennedy, for joining us today. So let's talk first about fluoride. I have been to many dentist offices, including dentists that advertise as being holistic. And you know my experience with some dentists who are ego-driven, and they have fluoride here and there. And I've been in shouting matches with dentists. I don't trust dentists on the East Coast in general, especially in the New York area. Horrible. I finally found somebody in West Hartford that I think is, you know, one of the best. And it's been a real challenge for me because, you know, when you start out with really great teeth and you end up going to a bad doctor who lies to you, I'm sure you've heard this story a lot, and they cause problems. It's called an iatrogenic medical issue, which is caused by a doctor error, or they're just not technically able to do what they're supposed to do. So talking about fluoride, tell us why it's in the water and why it is so touted as this miracle drug when it's a chemical that kills you.
Well, I always say there's 11 reasons for fluoride and fluoridation. It's money, 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 money.
Oh, it's money. Okay.
Do you know another element that has its own staff of lawyers? The fluoride does. They're called the fluorine lawyers. And so why would an element need a band of high-dollar lawyers to defend it? And because it poisons everything it touches. It is a fundamental poison. It's not a nutrient. They've dressed it up, you know, and put lipstick on it, but it's still a deadly poison. It will kill you. And even the dentist will admit that it'll kill you. It's, oh, in large amounts, it'll kill you. But in small amounts, it's just really wonderful. But that's not true. Is it the harm is linear. So if it kills you here, it's going to hurt you here, and it's going to, you know, long-term exposure is going to hurt you down here. So if you look at what I think we should be doing is we should be avoiding exposure to fluoride every way we possibly could. And the dentist slide it into your fillings, and the school system paints your children's teeth with unapproved drugs that have huge amounts of fluoride in them. And, you know, that it's an insanity that my profession has embraced, And there's a reason for that, is that the dental schools of the United States are accredited by a trade association. The trade association has vested interests in promoting fluoride because they get money from all the people in the industry of selling toothpaste and mouthwashes and all this stuff. In fact, they won't accredit, they won't put their seal of approval, their stamp of approval on a toothpaste that doesn't have a deadly poison in it. So these are not my kind of people. Yeah. I'd rather you go to the kitchen and get something that you can put in the cookies to brush with. If you want some flavoring, you can get some mint. You can go in your yard and dig some out. You can use baking soda and salt. You can put that in the chocolate chip cookies, and the kids don't die. If you put fluoride in the cookies, the kids will die.
Mm-hmm.
That's the nature of the beast. It is the strongest electronegative element in the whole periodic chart. It will take an electron off of every other element because it is a beast. And that beast, if you take, for instance, oil, and it's called a hydrocarbon. There's a carbon and a hydrogen group. If you take that hydrogen off and put a fluoride on, you know what you get? Teflon, Kevlar, a whole series of new substances that have no resemblance whatsoever to oil. But that's what happens. It changes the nature of whatever it gets involved with and turns it into something that's entirely different. You don't want that going around your body. Your body was not built to run with fluoride. It was built to run with your carbon-based system. You're not supposed to be, you know, exposing yourself to mercury and fluoride and stuff like that. But dentists don't understand that because they're not taught that. They're actually lied to in their education. And I know because I heard the lies, and I believed them for a long time. You know, mm-hmm. You could have gone to me and thought I was an idiot because when I wrote my book, I wrote a whole chapter about how fluoride, blah, blah, blah. I just regurgitated the stuff I memorized in school and sent it off to a good friend of mine who came back looking like it was bleeding to death with all the red marks in it. And he referred me to a better source of information than the dentist. And I totally changed that chapter. And that there's lots of ways to prevent tooth decay. And you don't have to use any poisons in your oral hygiene routine.
Well, I cannot stress this point enough to my listeners. This is a very important point because it also affects, it crosses your blood-brain barrier, and people don't understand how dangerous that is for children, for the fetus that's developing, as well as for adults, even the elderly. No one escapes the toxic effects of fluoride. And you said on one of my shows in the past, dentists don't understand this so much because they never studied toxicology. They're not toxicologists.
That's absolutely true. And yet we're expected to make toxicological decisions in selecting a product that's safe for your mouth. And that, you know, fluoride and mercury are not the only dental blunders. Leaving dead teeth in the jawbone and using nickel crowns, how much the metal costs in a nickel crown? 5 cents. And so the nickel is a carcinogen. Well, why would you make crowns out of it? Oh, we can get the porcelain to stick to it, and it's nice and pretty. I'm sorry, but, you know, if you're implanting nickel in people's mouths, then you need to be tracking the cancers that's causing. Oh, well, we don't do that. That would be somebody else's problem.
Mm-hmm.
So that it's you know, would they immediately come up with a new material and put it in the mouth and pay no attention at all to the research that is 100 years old. Nickel was shown to be a carcinogen 100 years ago. 25% of the women test allergic to nickel. And, you know, if you buy a cheap earring and you have pierced ears and you stick it in there, does it blow up? Well, that's an allergy to the nickel. And so if you put crowns in somebody's teeth that are made out of nickel, their gums blow up. And mm-hmm. So now you got all this red gum. Well, we can cut those off for you. And
well, now there are non-toxic crowns that don't have metal in them, and there are better dentists who use, there's a couple products out of Germany that make better products. So, you know, if you go to a dentist who doesn't understand this, who doesn't understand what he or she is putting into your mouth or into your children's mouths, then you need to find somebody else who does. And you and I have had many discussions on this. There are people who are quote unquote holistic. They put up a shingle, but they're only holistic in name only. You've also got to be very careful of that. I'm a big embracer of higher technology. People and dentists who use ozone, for instance. I will not go to a dentist who does not use ozone. I will not go to a dentist who does not have the highest technology in at least one laser, because the laser can take the place of the drill. And this wonderful dentist that in fact, I'll give him a shout out, Dr. Yuri May in West Hartford. He's amazing. He uses one of the best lasers on the market today. They can really save you, and they can, you know, make things so much easier. And you're not having to get all kinds of Novocaine and shots that are, by the way, many of us are very allergic to. So I realized that I was. I found out that I was highly allergic. And so getting anything shot into your gums, which goes directly into your bloodstream, people, by a dentist to numb you can also be a very dangerous practice. Did you know, Dr. Kennedy, that they were also the manufacturers of these Novocaines? I know that's a general term, but they were putting in methylparaben, propylparaben, propylene glycol into the products that numb people, that go directly into their bloodstream. And those are also carcinogens.
You know, that I had a lecture years ago on the carcinogenicity of the local anesthetics, and that they break down into an aniline, and that the aniline's a carcinogen. So I went up to the largest seller of Astra.
We got to go to a break. Can you hold that thought?
Yeah,
we got to go to a break. Today we're talking with Dr. David Kennedy. We'll be right back. This is Conscious Lifestyles. Hey there, welcome back to Conscious Lifestyles. This is Ginger Leilani Chapin. We are talking with Dr. David Kennedy today, an amazing dentist who's now turned into a global researcher and educator for the toxicity that goes into dental products. Most of us are not told that when we're given, you know, the little happy smiles at the dentist's office, and, you know, your children are really being exposed to some pretty heavy-duty stuff that could damage their ability to learn and their ability to grow, which is pretty serious. So we were talking just before we had to go to break about the toxicity of the anesthetic shots, and we're not told that there's methylparaben, propylparaben, propylene glycol, other preservatives that are known carcinogens. They cause cancer. Why would the FDA or whoever's overseeing this allow something like that to be shot into your bloodstream?
And the anesthetic itself, Novocaine was the first one that breaks into an aniline, which is a carcinogen. So that there are lots of things bad about local anesthetics. There are some safer ones, but I went up to the big seller of local anesthetics at a dental meeting and asked him, well, let me have a carcinogen-free local anesthetic. And the guy didn't even turn around. He didn't blink. I mean, we don't have one. They know it. The salesmen know it, but the dentists don't. So that's because we're poorly trained. We're poorly educated, and none of the dentists have a toxicologist on staff or teaching a class. So they don't know that what they're saying is really, really idiotic. Is it, oh, it's just a little tiny bit, won't hurt you? Well, that means you know how much you gave them and how much causes harm. They don't know the answer to either of those questions. So, you know, don't trust that person. It's like talking to the janitor about, you know, how safe the building is. You know, he knows how the floor looks, but he doesn't know whether or not the foundation is any good. And that's the trouble with dentistry. Dentistry is accredited by a trade association. The trade association makes money from endorsements from industry. So whatever industry does, the trade association is going to approve, and they're going to teach it in the dental school. You cannot legally open a dental amalgam silver filling capsule with a student present. And so if there is a student listening to this who's a dental student or a dental assisting student or a dental hygiene student, that you should be aware that you are being overexposed to mercury above the level that is against the law. I got a letter from UCLA. I wrote that to Janet Napolitano. She sent it back to UCLA, where I had measured high levels in their school. You can measure them in any dental school. You just have to catch the point in time where the dentist or the dental student is touching the tooth with something. A rubber cup, a drill, a toothbrush, all of that makes mercury fly out at huge levels. Schools in California and most states, the students are protected by the EPA standard. That the whole darn school was above the EPA standard. So, you know, they should shut the thing down and demo the building, start over.
Wow.
It's a rogue profession that has lost its way. It no longer is into healing. It's into mechanically drilling holes. You were talking about lasers a minute ago. It is fantastic what we can do today. If there's a pinhead-sized cavity in a tooth, I can take a laser or even a sandblaster and make that pinhead rotten spot go away. Flow fluoride-free, BPA-free composite into the area, harden it with another laser, and boy, that tooth looks just like normal, and it's actually stronger than normal. Why don't we do that? Well, It's not tradition. I'm sorry. The tradition is to mutilate the tooth with a giant burr so that it breaks a little bit later in life, and then you get a crown, and that supports the entire dental profession. Stop mutilating children's teeth because it breaks when they're older.
Right.
Fix them with lasers and minute dentistry and get them on a regime that kills off the bug. Tooth decay is an infection. It's caused by a bacterium called Streptococcus mutans and a little bit lactobacillus. You can kill those guys. Fluoride doesn't kill them. It just makes them sick. You can kill those germs. You can scrub them off the teeth. You can knock them out with iodine. You can hit them with ozone. You can get rid of those germs in a lot of different ways that are very safe, very non-toxic, and we don't do it.
Hydrogen peroxide. You can also...
Peroxide will kill them?
Yep, peroxide as
both
well. As well as essential oils like peppermint essential oils, clove. Clove kills them right away.
Salt, baking soda,
exactly.
What I tell everybody to do is measure it when you're done. Is that every school in the United States should have every child, when they start their school year, spit in a tube. And if it turns purple, they got strep mutans in there. It's about 1 out of 5. And then they need to address that. That means hygiene, diet, kill the bug.
And that's, you know, a simple test. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing is that you have, you know, especially when you start getting into your late 20s, early 30s, even if you didn't have problems with your teeth, and I didn't, you know, I had a bad dentist, a number of them in New York, and I got into a yelling match, by the way, by someone who says they teach at NYU. I think that's the worst school in America. And I told him that, and his ego... I think I burst his bubble, but I don't care because there are schools out there that they're like these gigantic, you know, cattle calls. They're not teaching their students what they need to know about the preservation of someone's mouth and their life and the enormous pain and suffering that can happen when you just don't care enough. And I have not seen that. The New York City area can be a very... dangerous area to find a very good dentist, unfortunately. And it's the largest city in America and certainly one of the largest in the world. But you have to be careful. You have to look at the dental training of that doctor and ask yourself, you know, do they really have the skills that I need? Now, again, I look at the technology that they have. And just because they say they have a laser doesn't mean they know how to use it. And that's a whole nother set of interviews we can have. You have to have someone who understands there are different levels of lasers as well. Some lasers are very crude, But there are other lasers that are incredible now that are available to the higher quality dentists that are using it. And I now have found one. And ozone, you mentioned. Can you talk a little bit about how ozone is so valuable in dentistry?
Well, it's also one of the reasons it is so valuable is basically it's singlet oxygen. It's oxygen, you know, instead of O2, it's O1. And that actually burns because the germs, many germs, especially the ones that cause gum disease, cannot stand oxygen. Well, O1 is a very aggressive molecule that goes in and finds these guys and kills them. It'll burn your tissue, but, you know, you're tough. You can take it. But the germs are gone, and so they're called anaerobic organisms, means they cannot stand air. And so this isn't air, this is oxygen. That's what they hate in air. And so that's a good way to get rid of the pathogens that cause gum disease. You know, you're absolutely correct about the dentist often continuously making huge blunders. It's a question of their moral integrity, their ethics, because you can go to the Broken Overshoe Dental School in the middle of nowhere, and they will teach you the general techniques of dentistry. And then if you care about your patients, you will learn how to do it right. And that's why it's called the practice of dentistry. But it's not the school that makes the dentist a good, caring person. It's that has to happen at home before they go to dental school. The trouble is, when they go to dental school, they get in these laboratories where they have a mixing, packing, carving, polishing, mercury fillings. And it poisons the students. There are studies of dental students showing their blood level of mercury goes up precipitously throughout their training. That's against the law. But there's a huge study from Yale recently that was examining dentists. The dentists say, oh, it was a problem. We noticed the dentist. Well, did you notice that the dentists are taking 18 times more of the neuropsychiatric drugs than the ordinary paired social equal? Mm-hmm. That, you know, the stuff for schizophrenia, depression, and on and on and on. Anything that has to do with the way the brain works or the motor system of the body works, the Parkinson's, the ALS, the MS, all these things are mercury-related because mercury fries nerves. And what it doesn't impact is the IQ. And that's really funny, is that the long-term memory IQ is still working even in these severely poisoned people. And so what do the dentists want to say? Well, you know, I can still pass an IQ test. Well, yeah, but can you hold a cup of coffee and not spill it on yourself? Yeah. Well, I'm a little shaky. That's because the nerves have been fried between your brain and your hand. So it's against the law to expose our children to those levels, and every dental school in North America does that, including the dental student schools, the dental hygiene schools, and the dental assisting schools. So these children go in to learn a trade, and they get blasted with a huge neurotoxin, mercury, while the perpetrators are denying, I mean, big surprise, and the science is showing it absolutely harms those people. A 40% decrease in fertility in female dental assistants. That was Roland in 1994. Well, what have we done about that? Nothing. Mm. Most people think they don't use mercury fillings anymore because the dentist said, I'm going to use this pure silver one. Well, that was a lie. That's just plain artful deception. Is you got a white coat on, you can lie to them as long as you keep a straight face. And that's the crime that's ongoing because our schools are turning out mercury poison students into mercury poison practice, and that they have lost their moral way. And,
okay.
You know, because the schools are criminal, the graduates become criminal.
Yes, I agree with that. With that said, we have to go to a quick break. You're listening to Conscious Lifestyles. We'll be right back. Hey there, welcome back to Conscious Lifestyles. This is Ginger Leilani Chapin. We are talking with Dr. David Kennedy. You got to go check him out on YouTube. David Kennedy, DDS. Go check out all of his YouTube videos. You will be amazed, and hopefully you'll be so inspired to not only save your own life, but the lives of the people that you love. You know, we're talking about fluoride and the dangers of fluoride. They're very real dangers because they were put into the water. Fluoride was put into the water of the concentration camp prisoners under the Nazi regime. Now that they didn't do that to protect their teeth because they were killing them. They did that to make them passive and controllable. So why are we putting fluoride into the water? Secondly, we're talking about the dangers of mercury in fillings. You should never allow anyone to put a silver filling into your mouth, as well as any kind of metal, no heavy metals of any kind. And thirdly, we're talking about some of the other things like ozone and using lasers, but also the dangers of anesthetics. So you mentioned earlier, there are some anesthetics they can get that are not toxic. You have to get them from Europe, or what about using, what is it, the gas they can put on your face?
The gas is nitrous oxide, and it I call it happy gas. It's more of an analgesia than an anesthetic. It'll make pain less sharp, but it doesn't make it go away. There are some anesthetics that are now don't metabolize into carcinogens. Septocaine comes to mind. Other countries are more aware of this, but you can get that anesthetic in the U.S. now. So there are solutions to this, but you've got to get the awareness of. But 99% of the anesthetics that are used are still the old kind that break into the aniline. So, you know, It takes an educated public to move dentistry. Dentistry does not change. It doesn't change until the person that walks in that door says, "I want this." And it's a tragedy, but that's how that profession operates. It waits until the consumers demand it, and then they'll provide it. And that because they're not that sharp, they've been inhaling mercury for any place between 4 and 40 years, and that damages their ability to connect two thoughts. They don't have the ability to put A plus B together and come up with C. Linear, yeah, fine, but not connect thoughts. We were talking about UCLA. I complained about UCLA having high levels of mercury. And they said, "How do you know?" And I said, "I measured it." And the dean said, "I unlawfully measured it." Well, I was taking a class there. You unlawfully exposed me. So I finally managed 20 years later to get them to measure the clinic. The law requires them to measure your facility every time it's reasonable to assume exposure is likely. That's OSHA law. They had not measured their clinic ever until I got them to. And then they measured it, and they found one student completely exceeded the permissible exposure limits. You had to evacuate the area. Technically, they didn't. And they measured the exhaust fan of the student lab, and the exhaust fan was higher than the EPA standard. So, and they said, "See, we're fine." And they said, "No, that's exactly what I said. You're using OSHA standards on students. You can't do that." And what did they say? They said, "Oh, well, it's the student's fault. He wasn't doing it right, and we're not going to talk to you anymore."
Wow.
So if they won't talk to a whistleblower that has pointed out their transgressions and deal with it, what are you going to do? How can you make them stop? Sue them? How many lawyers do you have in your downline?
Arsenal.
That you wanna,
exactly. And it's always,
want to make wealthy. You know, that we have to tell the public to demand that their dental office stop having mercury in the office, for one thing, and that when they do remove a mercury filling, they do it in a manner that doesn't poison the patient. And that's true. You can actually be poisoned by some dentist willy-nilly drilling out the fillings with the same careless attitude that they used in putting them in. Fluoride is just another example. Ask any dentist, "What are you doing to prevent tooth decay?" And they'll say, "Fluoride, fluoride, 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 fluoride." Well, fluoride doesn't do a very good job. It's not even very effective at what it does, and it should be disturbing to you how it does what it does. It makes the germs on your teeth sick. Well, when you swallow it, it makes you sick. The sodium monofluorophosphate goes into your stomach. If you swallow it, it turns into hydrofluoric acid, and it burns a hole in your stomach. How nice. Yeah. So this is a terrible thing to put in anybody's mouth. Why did we get into that? We've been lied to. We've been systematically lied to by dentistry's favorite partner in business. It's called the industry that makes stuff for us, and the manufacturers, and that they tweak their studies to supposedly show a benefit. For example, you can go to any store and buy a Walmart or one of the drugstores and get prescription fluoride tablets. And yet, that there's a letter that came out in January this year, or last year, that the no FDA approval for any fluoride-containing substance intended to be ingested to prevent tooth decay. I talked to a dentist one time. And he was blah, 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 how good fluoride was. And it was at a city council meeting. And I said, do you have it? And he, I've used fluoride in all my children. They're all wonderful. They got wonderful teeth, blah, blah, blah. And I said, any of them got neurological impairments? And he turned white and sat down.
Mm.
And his wife came up to me afterwards and he says, what do you mean about neurological impairment? And I said, you know, fluoride damages brains. And, you know, your husband was touting the fact that he slopped fluoride around. She said, well, he gave it to me when I was pregnant. And our first daughter, when I was 20, has Down syndrome. And I said, oh, that's another thing. It breaks chromosomes. And that young women exposed to fluoride have much more higher incidence of Down babies, Down syndrome babies, than the, you know, usually that's a problem of older women. And so here is a 20-year-old woman. Her first child had Down syndrome. Her other three children didn't. Well, Dad, the dentist, was giving them a bunch of fluoride to cause the chromosomes to break. Thank you very much.
So yeah, connect the dots there. So, yeah, so
he didn't
obvious.
Do it in purpose. He did it because he's ignorant. Because Creighton University in Nebraska didn't teach him that you're using a deadly poison and it's not FDA approved. Don't give it to your pregnant wife. What did he know?
Well, you know what? It's so disappointing to hear all this. And you and I have had many discussions on this. I've gone on to do my own research. There's books out there. You have 27 documentaries. Anyone who's just tuning in, listen to Dr. David Kennedy, DDS, on YouTube. Go to all of his documentaries. They are so informative. You know, information empowers you. And there's no reason today to not be informed. Even if you take 15 minutes out of your time a day, get up 15 minutes earlier if you need to. Take time out of your day to learn something because it could save the life of your children or someone you love or yourself. And, you know, this is the thing. They're also putting fluoride into a lot of pharmaceutical drugs, too, which is also very scary because that person's swallowing the drug.
Yeah, exactly. And all your general anesthetics, the fluorethane, the halothane, all those inhalation general anesthetics are a mixture of fluoride and bromine and a few other nice things. And so if you get general anesthetics repeatedly, you continually lose cognitive function is the way they express that. And they say, oh, we don't know why that is. Well, you're giving the person a neurotoxin. That's why they're unconscious. I don't want somebody cutting on me if I'm awake. I wouldn't think that'd be a lot of fun. But there are a lot of other ways you can make areas go numb, like spinal block or whatever. But
right.
avoid fluoride. And your prescription fluoride kind of things are like Prozac, which is a fluoride compound, and Cipro, which is an antibiotic. That is very effective, but it also says don't take more than a week at a time. And the postmen that they're afraid of anthrax, they put them on it for like 2 or 3 months, and they got crippling arthritis from the fluoride. So
wow,
you know, the advocates say, oh, that fluoride compound's all bound up in there, and then well, how come I can measure it coming out in the urine? That's how you measure whether or not they're taking their Prozac, is you measure the fluoride coming out of the urine. So if it's bound up, it shouldn't be coming out, right? So anyway,
it's the same with the mercury. It's same with mercury, though. It's coming out in the urine. And, you know, there's a special way for anyone who's had mercury silver fillings. There is a special way to take them out. Can you talk about that? Because most dentists are not trained in properly removing them and replacing them.
Which is exactly the crime I was speaking of a minute ago, is that they're not trained in the ability to remove mercury fillings because they're not following OSHA guidelines. You could simply walk into any OSHA compliance facility and say, I want to grind this mercury filling. What do I need to do? And they would say, okay, over here's the respirator with the air supply. Over here is the space suit that covers you up that's mercury proof. And then here's a giant vacuum that sits right beside there, and then here's cold water. And then you put it on there, and you can work on that with the giant vacuum and all that stuff. Well, there's a patient attached to it. Well, in that case, you're going to have to drape the patient with a painter's film, you know, thin layer of mylar or plastic of some sort, so that the debris from the removal of the filling doesn't land on the patient's clothing and get involved in the washing all of the baby and all that stuff. And then put a rubber over the tooth so that the vacuum sits next to the tooth. And that if you were smoking a cigar, nobody would smell it because there has to be so much airflow over that workspace that the vapor and the particulate cannot leave that area. That's OSHA standard. That's what every dental school should teach their students. No dental schools are. The only organizations that I know, the International Academy of Biological Medicine and AAEM, American Academy of Environmental Medicine, and the IAMT are the ones that are teaching their members how to do safe removal. And that's the important thing for you to understand. Just because it's mercury doesn't mean it's going to kill you. It's in your tooth. Grinding it up and feeding it to you through your lungs could kill you. So, right. You know, if you want to get it removed, you've got to do it with intelligence. And that doesn't mean don't go to the dentist, because then you get dead teeth and then they abscess and you got that infection thing going, and that's as big a problem as the other. So you don't want to trade one problem for the other, or as we used to say in Kansas, out of the frying pan into the fire.
Right. But you know what? There's also a protocol to taking out silver fillings. You know, they're put on a vitamin C. Some dentists even do intravenous vitamin C, or they have all kinds of protocols that you can use. They also want to help to clear out, to cleanse the body. They'll even put you on a cleanse prior to, like a liver cleanse, a full body cleanse, just to make sure that your body is prepared for this. And they build your body up with other nutrients as well while they're cleansing you, just to make sure your body can handle it. And then they also give you things like clay or charcoal that can help to, you know, clean it. It attaches itself to the actual mercury to help get it out of your body quickly and safely. So, I mean, there's a lot of protocols out there, and you want to make sure you're working with a dentist who is going to be paying attention to that. Is that what you're also getting at?
Well, yes and no. One of the ways that the fools have managed to keep the sheep in the pen is that if you came into my office and you had a bunch of mercury fillings and you were shaken and looked like you had mercury poisoning, if I said, boy, you've got so many fillings, I think you might be suffering from mercury intoxication. Here, take this vitamin C or garlic or charcoal or whatever, that I could lose my license because I'm treating mercury poisoning. So dentists can only cause mercury poisoning. Once you are mercury poisoned, then it becomes somebody else's responsibility to treat that. So what the Dental Trade Association does, with the help of the dental board, which is technically a conspiracy, that they remove the license from any dentist that has the audacity to point out that mercury poisoning is a common sequelae from having mercury in your teeth or working in the dental office, and that there are treatments for that, because dentists are not licensed to treat that. They're only licensed to cause that. So that they use that. They don't catch every dentist. They catch one or two, and they rip them up in front of all their
colleagues. Right, but let me just stop you right there. Hang on. We got to go to a break, but let me just stop you right there. The really sophisticated, good dentists that I've come across, what they do is they either work with a nutritionist or a naturopathic licensed professional who does work with them hand in hand. So that person, they may be in a different office, or they may have an office close by, what have you. That's how they do it. They have you working with another professional who's going to help you on that end, and then they do the dentistry. So it goes hand in hand, because no one person can do everything, but I see what you mean. But that's how they get around that ridiculous, I don't know if it's a law, but it ties your hands behind your back as a dentist to truly help your patients. But what they do is they will have another professional like me or someone else who has many years of experience doing this to help them get the right stuff to clean out. So we got to go to break. We'll be right back. This is Conscious Lifestyles. Hey there. Welcome back to Conscious Lifestyles Radio Show. We're talking with Dr. David Kennedy, very outspoken, but you educate millions of people around the world to take just their health into their own hands. It is time for our country, America, please get healthy. We have been the sickest nation on earth. What is going on? Well, it's because you're intoxicated. And so, Dr. Kennedy, you've just been so amazing with all of your videos. Everyone go on to YouTube, David Kennedy DDS. I love smoking teeth, but you have so many on there to choose from. And then fluoridegate.org. So you were, we had to go to a break, but you were saying there are other ways during the break of the dentist also helping the patient to build their body up and clean their body out from the toxicity of the mercury if they have to get mercury fillings taken out. Can you talk about that?
Yes, I have. And you're absolutely correct that the dentist needs to work with somebody else that is focused on cleaning the body out and getting rid of the mercury. One of the ways that they can speak truthfully to you about mercury and that sort of stuff is to have you go watch a movie. And so, hence my YouTube channel, that there's Safer Amalgam Removal in there. There's a bunch of different movies there that can show you about bad bugs, how to make your gums well, et cetera, et cetera. So that's protected under free speech. So free speech, a movie and a book and written documentations from an organization, that stuff is protected. But the dentists are very much at risk if they're telling you that you're mercury poisoned. So if you go in an office and says, you know, I've been having these headaches lately, do you think it's my mercury fillings? If they say yes, that person asking that question is probably a fake investigator for the state, and they'll jerk his license. So I would always say, I don't know. I sure wouldn't want to have any mercury fillings in my office. And that means if you got them, don't breathe out in my direction. So, you know, they have their series of stupid questions that they ask, and they're trying to hook you into connecting the mercury fillings and a specific disorder. And so that's a crime in their mind. So to my mind, the crime is that they're exposing our children to mercury in the school, that they're teaching them how to put them in. So, you know, I'd like to see that arrest occur. But anyway, we'll have our battle of the policemen sometime. So anyway, there are ways that you can practice ethically and morally and do the finest dentistry possible in the history of the planet using what you were talking about. Lasers, ozone, bonding materials that adhese the thing together. But with the idiotic dentist insisting that every water supply, including New York's, be fluoridated with hydrofluorosilicic acid from hazardous waste generators at the mining industry, then you end up with fluoride in everything from breakfast cereal to breads. Anything that is made with the water concentrates the silico fluoride that's in the water. A lady was crippled in Independence, Missouri. She drank Lipton instant iced tea, and so it was made with the fluoridated water from Independence. But Lipton iced tea had like 8 parts per million fluoride in it because it was instant. They made the tea, and then they dehydrated it, so that concentrates the fluoride. So anytime you concentrate something and make it instant, if you do that in a fluoridated community, it ends up high. Baby formula used to be really high in fluoride, and the FDA made them use non-fluoridated water or move their facility out of a fluoridated community. And so if you look at the rhetoric now, that the dentists are saying, well, if you're going to make up formula, you probably should use bottled water. Well, you don't have any knowledge of whether that bottled water is fluoridated or not, because it doesn't have a label on it. And you go to Mexico, it's got a label, but the United States, we want to tell you about the fat in the water. So how would a mother be sure that the formula she made up for her baby, if you use the tap water, if it's fluoridated, I can guarantee you that child is going to have an excess exposure to fluoride. You can just do the math. It's really simple. But the dentists don't know how to calculate dose. Ask them what dose of fluoride harms a child, and they'll go, oh, it's safe at 1 part per million. Wait a minute. That's not the dose. That's the concentration in the water. The baby's going to drink a liter of water a day if it's an 8-pound baby. So that gives it a dose of 0.25 milligrams per kilogram. That's 5 times higher than the level it's going to cause harm. Mm-hmm. 5 times. Come on. Learn the math. It's easy.
Yeah. It's so convoluted is what, you know, when you start to look into this bowl of spaghetti, so to speak, there's no straight lines. There's so much corruption, and it's just piled on top of each other for so many decades now that a busy mother or a busy parent, you know, someone who's just trying to live their life, even if you're single and you're just a busy working person, What I do is I make sure that I buy very well-made dental products. And like you said, you can even make your own with baking soda and salt and things like that. I do rub my gums with it's a gum oil. That's a peppermint. I think it has clove in it and something else. So there are spearmint. And so there are other products you can use. And I buy a product online, several of them actually, that are made with clay. They don't have any fluoride. And they're usually in powder form. Sometimes they're in a paste, but it's never really in a tube. It's usually in a jar. So there are so many great things out there. I wanted to ask you, what do you think of, like, a lot of the better dentists like to sell the water, you know, it's like a water flosser, like a water pick. Do you suggest, I saw that you had a video that talked about that as well.
Yeah, I strongly recommend irrigators, and that I don't put water in them, but I put, you know, your ozone water or iodine water or something that kills germs. The germs that cause tooth decay are gooey, and they glue themselves to your tooth, and you can feel them with your tongue when you run around your teeth. Like one little 12-year-old said her, and she wanted to know why her teeth grow sweaters overnight, and so the teeth get all fuzzy, and she has to knock them off. Well, that's the germs that cause tooth decay. They're gooey, and they're stuck to your tooth. You got to knock them off. The germs that cause gum disease are swimmers. They're like fish. They're down in the juice that lives around your tooth, and so if you're just brushing the tooth, the germs down below get to live there. They don't even care. They're just happy as little clams down in their water. And what they're doing is they're eating you. Is it that if you floss and your gums bleed, then some germ has eaten a hole in the skin, so the blood comes out, and that's a spirochete. They like to eat blood. So how do you get rid of that guy? Well, he's a swimmer. So if he had a tsunami come by every day, that he would be swimming somewhere else, and or down the drain, for example. And or if the tsunami contained ozone water, he can't stand ozone. So now you've just disinfected at the same time you ran a tsunami through your mouth. And that's basically how we were able to stop 100% of the gum disease that came in the office if the patient would follow our instructions. And then if they didn't, and I had quadriplegics that couldn't do very well, and we still stop their gum disease, because if they can't do it, we can do it. Is it? It takes up to 10 weeks for these germs to grow back. So if you're in a quadriplegic, you're not going to do much, but you can go through, and we killed him. And then he was very careful and didn't swap spit with anybody, and he didn't ever get them back. So, you know, this is an infectious disease, goes from person to person. It's not that you're not brushing well enough. It's you're using the wrong thing to brush with. And when you get done, you got to hose it off, and that's what the water pick is.
Yeah,
so
and
washes
you can
all that stuff away.
And I even saw you put in, there's an internal iodine that you can get to put into the water as well.
It's called Lugol's. It's a nutrient form. Dr. Max Gerson had his patients taking 15 milligrams of it a day to fight off cancers. That he was very famous for making cancers go away nutritionally. And so, but you know, it wasn't just nutritionally. He basically enhanced the patient's ability to get rid of the cancer. And that Lugol's was an integral part of that. Well, hey, if you got 15 milligrams was what his daily dose was. So if you put in 100 milligrams in the water pick and spit it out, you're probably going to get, you know, 5 milligrams anyway at the most. So it's the same idea as the fluoride. Oh, well, the fluoride really toxic if you ate it all, but we're going to spit it out. Why don't we use something that's non-toxic and spit it out too? And that way we don't have to worry. In fact, if you happen to swallow a little bit of it, it'd just be good for you.
Well, that is such a great point to end the show on. Everyone, we're talking with Dr. David Kennedy, DDS. Please go on to YouTube, David Kennedy, DDS, and watch one of his 27 incredible documentaries. He's got so many YouTube videos up there just to educate you for free. Or go on to fluoridegate.org. Really empower yourself with this knowledge. It's been my pleasure to have you back on, Dr. Kennedy. You're such a cool guy. I mean, I cannot imagine. I just want to meet you someday, and I just thank you so much for all the work that you've done to help people and save people's lives. You've been listening to Conscious Lifestyles.